Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. This afternoon on Steve Dale's Other World, my guest will be Tommy Edwards. Remember? Little Tommy, Uncle Larry, and Animal Stories. Well, later in this program, to salute them, Tommy and Uncle Lair, I've got an animal story. But first, a very exciting announcement. Dr. Drew Wagner has been on this radio show many times over the years on WGN and is currently the president of the Win Feline Foundation. And yes, indeed, exciting news coming up about this organization. But why does it matter to you if you have a cat? I can assure you it matters to you. We'll explain why in a moment. But let's begin here, Dr. Wagner. What is the Win Feline Foundation?
Steve, it's great to be back. The Win Feline Foundation has been benefiting cats for over 50 years. It was established by the Cat Fanciers Association back that long ago, and the namesake of Robert Wynn was their longtime counselor. And he would have been very pleased that the organization was named after him, but he found that name pretty limiting.
Yeah, and it's just the dude who began this organization with, what, like $50? And now all these years, over 50 years later, you've raised millions of dollars to fund cat health studies.
Over $7.5 million over the course of 50 years has gone to feline research.
And I would argue that there isn't a cat on the planet, because so much of the research this organization, which I am proud to say I serve on the board, I've been on this board for, I don't know, maybe 15 years or thereabouts, something like that.
At least.
Well, somewhere in there, that there isn't a cat anywhere, whether it's a shelter cat, whether it's a feral or community cat, and certainly a pet cat, whether it's a pedigreed or purebred cat, or whether it's a domestic short hair, all of those cats in some way has been impacted by the Win Feline Foundation funding.
That's true. In fact, being founded by the Cat Fanciers Association, its focus originally was just on pedigreed cats, but as you say, now it's pet cats, homeless cats, sheltered cats. In other words, it's every cat.
Yeah, it's been that way for a long time. And the Win Feline Foundation wants to make a point of that, which brings us to this. That is, I don't know if you have a drum roll handy, but I'll do what we, our special effects department paid for this. That's the announcement sound for the big announcement that I will let you make.
Thank you, Steve. I can't follow that up with much except for the new name of our foundation, and we now have changed the name to the Every Cat Foundation, the Every Cat Health Foundation, because it really does focus on every cat.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of it. I mean, Win Feline Foundation, I mean, people, who's Win, what's Win, and all of that. And this rebranding, is that the terminology that people use, better focuses on what this organization is all about, and that is helping, and that's the goal, helping every cat. Now, let's give some specifics of what we're talking about. So cats have a lot in common, no matter what kind of cat we're talking about. One is they all eat. And if we're talking about a pet cat, even what is in the food of what cats typically eat has once been funded by the Win Feline Foundation, correct?
That's true. We discovered through some of the groundbreaking research we do that most cat food was lacking in taurine. It caused a very serious fatal heart condition of cats. Once that was discovered, all they ended up having to do was add more taurine to cat food diets, and that disease has disappeared, saving the lives of countless, hundreds of thousands, at least, cats.
Yeah, taurine is an amino acid that dogs and people can pretty much produce on our own. Cats cannot do that. So there has to be a supplement of taurine in cat food. There was, but there wasn't enough of it. No one knew it at the time. And as you point out, all these cats died at the time as a result of that. But now, long ago, that has changed. But it was all funding from the Win Feline Foundation. Moving the clock forward a bit, there's a different kind of heart disease that arguably may kill more cats than anything else, at least adult cats before they reach age of seniors, where kidney disease and cancers kind of take over. But for middle-aged cats, it's called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. It's really a very all too common heart disease in cats, and now we know a lot more because of the Wynn Feline Foundation, or now, Every Cat Health Foundation.
Absolutely. In fact, going back, you know, to the very beginnings of discovering this disease, some of the research that was done at the time was using ultrasound to diagnose this condition in cats, and that helped tremendously because then we knew what we were treating. But over the years, we've discovered many, many different therapies for this disease, and it's still a tough disease to treat. There's no two ways about it. But more cats have lived much better quality and much longer lives because of the research that we funded into this disease.
And this
there's
is
a, there's a fund called the Ricky Fund, which you may have heard of before, since it was Steve's cat who played piano, who unfortunately did pass away from this condition. And even I knew Ricky and his piano playing antics back then. He was this very special cat.
Yeah, and I began the fund so we can solve the problem. And as you point out, we know a lot more about HCM, or hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, in cats as a result. We're not there yet as far as solving this disease, but we've certainly known more a lot than we did. However, with feline infectious peritonitis, or FIP, we kind of are almost there. I mean, this disease was always thought to be fatal. Interestingly enough, it's kittens oftentimes that get a coronavirus. A coronavirus, you've heard that term, right? That's been in the news. So they get this coronavirus that's very, I mean, it's benign. They don't have any signs or symptoms, and they're fine for the most part. I mean, almost always. And if you call the veterinarian because they have a runny stool, by the time the veterinarian calls you back, they're fine. However, in a percent of cats, this benign, otherwise benign coronavirus mutates inside the cat to cause what has always been deemed a fatal disease, feline infectious peritonitis. But the Wynn Feline Foundation has made an enormous difference, not even considered fatal now.
In fact, that was one of our first research grants back in 1971. It was for feline infectious peritonitis, which was a scourge then and a scourge now. But we've been working on a treatment for this condition for literally half a century, and we finally helped discover one. It has made a world of difference. Most of the cats that have been treated with this medication have survived and are still living today.
Yeah, it's amazing because it took years to even understand FIP because it is so complex. And Wynn funded all those studies over the years. But what if you have a cat? What's happening that may make a difference for tomorrow? We'll find out when we come back with Dr. Drew Wagner, president of the board of the Every Cat, or at least now it's called, the Every Cat Health Foundation. We'll be right back. Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN with Dr. Drew Wagner, who is the president of, not anymore, the Wynn Feline Foundation is now the Every Cat Health Foundation. So I know, Dr. Wagner, you walk around with a crystal ball. So I want you to look into it and tell us what's happening for cats that's good that the Wynn Feline Foundation, the Every Cat Health Foundation is now funding that'll make a difference for all of you that are listening right now who have a cat.
There's an amazing situation going on now. We're funding of almost $1 million from Purina and Mars working together for the first time in collaboration ever to investigate the phosphorus content of cat foods as a possible cause of kidney disease, which is by far the most common geriatric disease of cats.
Now, this is huge in several different ways. So if it wasn't for this organization, probably these two giant pet food companies would not be coming together. But they're coming together with what they deem as Switzerland, right? An organization that really has the wherewithal to find funding to solve what you point out. If you have a cat that's over the age, I forget the exact data, and maybe you know it, but over the age of, say, 12, I know it's well over 50% of cats have some kidney disease going on.
Mm-hmm. And it is the most common cause of death in older cats by far. And so this has the potential to really impact the lives of cats all over the world.
Yeah. So tell me about stem cells and what now the Every Cat Health Foundation is supporting.
There's actually a couple of different projects we're looking at with stem cells, but one that should be reaching the market shortly is a novel treatment for cats with gum disease called stomatitis. this is a very painful disease which beforehand has had no treatment that has been highly effective in any cases. But the stem cell research that we funded has shown efficacy of over 70% for cats that don't respond to any other treatment. It's greatly improved their quality of lives. There's no doubt about it.
So for you personally, being the president of the board currently and being on the board, what is most gratifying to you as you sit in these meetings day in and day out at times, or at least once a week, and see what's happening?
You know, there's two things, Steve. I think it is the vision of our founder, Robert Wynn, to think that the Cat Fancy Association half a century ago could make a difference in cat research. And now the Every Cat Foundation is the largest source of funds for feline research in the world. But it's also the dedication of the board members. I know you're one of them and have been for a long time, but it's always impressed me how dedicated they are, how well they work together, and how much fun they have doing this, because really, you know, pushing back the frontiers of science like this is so rewarding, and it's been very rewarding for me to be president.
Well, thank you very much. For further information, the website of the Every Cat Health Foundation is?
It's everycat, one word, .org.
Everycat.org, because every cat matters and every cat is impacted by the funds raised by this organization. And you are welcome, friends, to help us at Every Cat to raise more of those funds so we can make more of a difference. Dr. Drew Wagner, thank you so much.
A pleasure as always, Steve.
What Dr. Wagner and I didn't get into is the fact that I have been involved with this organization, the Wynn Feline Foundation, now the Every Cat Health Foundation, for maybe 14 years, somewhere in there, maybe longer. I've been on their board. They can't get rid of me, I suppose. I don't know. But it's a great honor of my life to be on this board for the difference this organization makes for cat health. Here's how it began. I had a cat who, well, let me start with the dog. We had a miniature Australian shepherd named Lucy who would go to the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago, it was called at the time, to do animal-assisted therapy with my wife, Robin. So Lucy would do all these little tricks. She knew 20 of them. I mean, she knew lots of little tricks. But one day Robin came home and said, you know what? We want to help these little kids feel better. And Lucy's job, a miniature Australian shepherd, was mostly to work with little kids. She was a little entertainer. I mean, after all, her name was Lucy. And Robin came home and said, teach her something else. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go out and get a little kid's piano and teach my little dog how to play a little kid's piano. And I began the process of clicker training. You know what that is, where you click the clicker and the dog associates the clicker with something good, and you shape the behavior. So our dog, Lucy, I took her into a room, closed the door, and clicked the clicker, and she'd raise her paw a little bit higher, a little bit higher. I mean, the idea would be eventually she'd touch the piano, then the piano keys, and eventually play the piano. Well, we never got quite that far because we're only about 10 minutes in and she is lifting her paw a little bit. But at that point in time, our cat Ricky, our stark white Devon Rex kitten, who was maybe at that point 6 months old, walks into the room, looks at me, looks at the dog, looks at the piano and goes ping, 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 ping on the piano. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've got a virtuoso here. What am I fooling around with this dog for? So I hustle the dog out of the room, and Ricky plays a concert on this kid's piano. I didn't even have to teach him. Amazing. But what I quickly realized is Ricky was desperate to learn anything. So I taught Ricky all of these cues, not only how to play the piano. And there's a great piano-playing story, by the way, that has to do with Steve and Johnny and WGN, because Ricky the cat eventually, who loved going outside, loved to socialize, loved to be out into the world. We would take him on a harness and leash. Now, this was over 20 years ago or so, somewhere in there. And at that point in time, it was before YouTube and television loved this. Ricky was on all these Animal Planet shows and all of these national programs on Fox he was on, because that was before Fox did politics. He was on Japanese TV, even, and on WGN radio. Because one thing you could do, and I was even on WGN at that point. So one thing you could do, I mean, it's audio, right? So a dog does a trick that you watch. That doesn't work on radio, but playing the piano kind of worked. But Ricky knew lots of other things, too. So if you have five dogs, even dogs that our cat has never met, would jump over one dog, another dog, another dog, another dog. So no wonder the TV loved Ricky. And Ricky loved to be on TV. Oprah's people even sent over a crew at one point. Lady knocks at the door. And we let her in. The whole idea was, this is a professional piano teacher. And the idea would be that this professional piano teacher would hone Ricky's skills on the piano. But she took it so seriously. And she said to Ricky, why aren't you practicing? And Ricky went, meow, as the cameras are going. It was hysterical. Ricky loved the attention. Loved, loved, loved it. And then one day, diagnosed with what's called feline hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, a kind of heart disease that affects cats. And a number of things can happen with those cats. And one thing is they can live out a normal lifespan. But they may also suddenly die. And that's what happened with Ricky. And I was so devastated. I mean, the connection I had with this cat, I can't replicate. Or even still today, all these years later, I have a difficult time talking about the bond that we truly had. And I set up a fund with the Wynn Feline Foundation called the Ricky Fund. We've raised more than a few hundred thousand dollars. And now as a result, a genetic defect, as a result of our money, a genetic defect can be found in two breeds. We know the incidence, the prevalence of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, this kind of heart disease, and how common it is. But there's much more we need to learn. And in any which case, that is my connection to what is now the Every Cat Health Foundation, making a difference for cats with heart disease and so much more than that. Once again, for the Every Cat Health Foundation, it is everycat.org. Sad news to relay to you. The tallest dog in the world passed away, Freddie. Believe it or not, this dog was tall enough to play in the National Basketball Association. And it is bad news. I mean, Freddie, a Great Dane, died in Essex, England at the age of 8.5. Now, the thing about these dogs, Irish Wolfhounds, and to an extent, really, Newfoundlands and St. Bernards, all the other giant breeds, Mastiff, they don't live long enough for me. Or I'm sure not for you either if you have one, but it's so heartbreaking. I don't know if I'd have the resilience every 6, 7, or 8 years to say, oh, well, you know, it's so hard. This dog lived to 8.5, and that's not bad for a Great Dane. There are Great Danes certainly that live longer, but Great Danes that succumb at the age of 6 or 7, and that's not uncommon. Standing on his hind legs, he was 7 feet, 5.5 inches tall. The Guinness Book of World Records said, Freddie, you are the tallest dog in America. And from all reports, Freddie was an absolute sweetheart. Now I've got an animal story without Uncle Lair or Little Tommy. Although Little Tommy will be on my radio show, Steve Dale's Other World, this afternoon. He's written a book about his life, his career, and we'll talk about how I was there. I really was. And Tommy remembers for the very first animal stories. I was a kid. I was an intern. Lou Jack knew I loved animals. And he said, well, pull the wire copy. Wire copy? What's that? This giant machine that made a lot of noise with big yellow paper produced what we called wire copy. And my job was to pull it, you know, rip it off and look for a story that was about animals like this. Imagine returning home to find your house broken into. I mean, that's a horrible feeling, right? And still, you muster the courage to enter. You hear a lot of noise. And you think, oh, go, I'm in trouble because that person's still there, right? And you see broken glass and the TV is smashed. And then you find the intruder, not so much a person, but a freaked out deer. Apparently, the deer somehow, I don't know how this happens, squeezed through the doggy door. This happened in British Columbia, so the residents called the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and they managed to wrangle the animal outside, unhurt, safely. The animal ran off, and try calling. I can imagine what the call was to the insurance company the next day. Can you believe? I don't know. I do know. I will see you bright and early next week on Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN.